We have three readings this morning. The first one's taken from Proverbs in the Old Testament, and it says, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back."
Amen.
And then further on in Ecclesiastes 7:9, it says, "Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs." And then the next one, "Control your temper, for anger fools you, labels you a fool." But Paul says in his letter to Ephesians, "For anger gives a foothold to the devil." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be back in God's house together, isn't it?
Amen.
Have you got the little one here today? I'm just realizing we have a special, special guest here today. Is he sleeping? Okay, we won't wake him up, but you know, if you want to take a peek later, I bet you'd be allowed. Grace's little one is here today. All right, we'll introduce to him maybe next Sunday if he's awake. All right, it's good to be in God's house and to just be able to praise and worship God. What a beautiful spirit today. Well, today we're going to start a short three-week sermon series called Escaping Temptation. We're just going to be looking at ways that God helps us to break some of the biggest temptations that we face today. And today I want to talk about a deadly temptation that when it gets its hand on you, not only does it wound you and hurt you, but it also tends to hurt everybody else around you. I want to look at how to escape the deadly temptation of anger, and especially of losing our temper. So go ahead and grab your message notes. Hopefully you got that as you came in. And today, as we look at this subject. And so this is an issue really that impacts all of us. We all deal with anger from time to time. Now, if you happen to have gotten angry this morning, or if you got angry this week, I want you to know that nobody told on you, and that's why I'm preaching today, okay? All right, my sermon series are all put together back in November of 2024, and although we tweak it a little bit throughout the time, you know, it just happens that it falls today. So if you are here and hearing this sermon, don't blame the preacher, okay? It's not my fault. The Holy Spirit wanted you maybe to work on this. So that's just kind of laying that down to begin with. But anger's a challenge for our culture today, right? I mean, you know, how many times have you heard on the news of somebody in Detroit driving and they get mad and they get out a pistol and shoot? It's crazy. Or if you really want to see anger get stirred up, just mention politics the next time your family gets together. And it just seems like we can't handle differences of opinion when it comes to things like politics or things like religion. I mean, even like going in Kroger, and you just kind of mind your own business, you accidentally bump into someone, and before you can even apologize, you get this angry response. Anger, it's a challenge in our culture. And so we find this, it's just simmering beneath the surface, ready to explode. Anger at home, anger at work, anger on the highways and at the airport, anger at a restaurant, anger with your family, anger. It's this destructive temptation that impacts all of us, men and women alike. Recent studies about anger show that the average man loses their temper 6 times a week, and the average woman loses her temper about 3 times a week. Studies show that women are much more likely to get upset, lose their temper at people, where men tend to lose our temper at things, not people, like traffic or our cell phone not working right or the computer going too slow or the football game, you know, like really important stuff, right? You know, men are more likely to get physical with their anger than women are. And then both men and women are more likely to express their anger at home and at work than anywhere else. In fact, anger is most frequent and it's most intense towards those that we love, not necessarily towards strangers. And this is the tragic thing about anger. And that the people that we hurt the most with our anger is not the stranger that's on the highway, but it's our spouse or our roommate or our mom or coworker or our best friend. It's the people that are closest to us that we love the most. And that's what makes giving in to anger such an insidious, devastating temptation, especially when you've developed a pattern of losing your temper. But let's look at the good news. In your notes, I've got this principle that we're going to be looking at through this series, escaping temptation principle, and that is that God offers a way out of every temptation I face. It's a promise. God offers a way out of every temptation I face. Even the temptation we're talking today, even the temptation to lose your temper. God offers a way out of every temptation I face. Now, when it comes to anger, it may not feel like that is true all the time, especially if you've gotten into this pattern where you're losing your temper over and over again. But God always offers an escape, and that promise is found in our key verse for this entire series. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and I want us just to read this verse out loud together. It starts with the words, the temptations. If it's easier to read off your notes, it's in your notes also. But let's read this together. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Underline that phrase, a way out. When it comes to temptation, God always offers a way out if we'll take it. And today, many of us need to find God's way out of this issue of anger when it comes to our temper. And so here's my definition of anger as we're looking at it today. It's a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. That's what anger is. Anger is this strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. And anger is this really strong emotion. And I want you to notice that there are various levels of intensity when it comes to anger. I mean, we know that. Right? There's anger rising from annoyance. That's kind of like a beginning level anger. My coworker playing their music too loud, and I don't think it is just, I'm just really getting frustrated at the fact that they're doing this. I'm annoyed. There's this annoyance. And then your anger rises to the next level of displeasure. I can't believe that jerk is still playing his music so loud. I want to give him a piece of my mind. So you're a little bit more angry. And then displeasure then rises to hostility. All right, I've had it. I'm going to go kick his you-know-what. I'm going to go tell him how selfish and annoying he is. When you feel that anger rising to the level of this hostility, we know we got a problem with this anger. But there are three possible responses. When you feel that anger rising up and you feel that temptation to give in to that anger, there's three different responses we can have to it. The first one is to express my anger. This is where I explode at the person who made me angry. I lose my temper. I just let someone have it. It could be yelling at your kids. It could be snapping at the waiter at a restaurant. It could be dumping 3 months of annoyance on my spouse. Now, while expressing your anger in the right way can be useful, most of the time, it just makes other people feel like garbage and it makes you look like a jerk. So the first response to my anger is I express it. The second response is I suppress it. I can express it, or sometimes I choose to suppress it. I hold it inside. I pretend that I'm not hurt, that I'm not angry. Someone said something hurtful to you, and or maybe you're passed over for a promotion and you pretend that you're not angry and you ignore your feelings. You just kind of stuff that down. But you should know that that can be dangerous, because unresolved anger ultimately turns to resentment. And if you don't deal with resentment, that's going to end up turning into bitterness. And then that bitterness, you know, will come out in destructive ways, sometimes way beyond when that hurt originally happened. So, you know, none of these are good ways to handle your anger. Instead, God wants you to do this. Don't express it or suppress it. God wants you to give it to Him. Write that in. God wants you to give that anger to Him, to give it to God. Ultimately, unresolved anger or a short temper, that is a spiritual issue. And God wants to take that from you today. He wants to help you and take that anger. He wants to help you hand it over to Him and to stop hurting yourself and hurting others with your anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." Now, I want you to see this. The Bible is very clear. You can control your anger. And that's what wise people do. When they feel that temptation of that the emotions rising to lose their temper, they control it. Because this verse says a hot temper is a foolish way to live. Now understand, all anger is not equal. As we said, there are various levels when it comes to losing your temper. And so the first level of anger is where you snap at your child. You snap at your spouse. You express your anger unnecessarily, whether it's at work or at school. So that's level one. Then there's level two anger. This is where you use your anger to pressure or intimidate someone. Maybe you curse at someone or you demean someone. It's a deeper level of anger. And then there's the third level of anger. And this is when your anger can get physical. Or your anger results in harming yourself or others, and it bleeds into areas of abuse, whether it's physical abuse or emotional or verbal abuse. And when you get to that third level of anger, that's when you need help. This is where you need counseling, where you need anger management before you end up blowing up your marriage or you end up really hurting someone and all the consequences that come from that. Our focus today is going to be on those first two levels of anger where most of us live at, that level one and level two, where your anger can be controlled and you can do something about it. So how do we escape the temptation of anger? Well, here's the first step. You've got to remember the consequences of giving in to my anger. It's one of the challenging things because when anger really gets a hold of us, the last thing we can do is think sometimes. And so it's something you got to train yourself to remember the consequences of giving in to my anger. Because here's the thing, there's a lot of danger in anger. In fact, you can't even spell the word danger without the words of anger in it. Will Rogers once famously said, "People who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing." There's a lot of truth in that statement. So let me give you just three of the real consequences of losing your temper. The first one is it ruins your reputation. Ecclesiastes 7:9, that's what it says. Control your temper, for anger labels you a what? A fool. Anger labels you a fool. People with hot tempers do foolish things. And when you do foolish things, people tend to label you a fool. You develop that reputation, and according to the Bible, they're right. You're a fool if you keep losing your temper. And so let me ask you this. Do you have a reputation of being a hothead? Because, see, no one wants to hang around a hot-tempered fool. Why? Well, it leads us to the second consequence of losing your temper. It causes unnecessary conflict. Losing your temper, it causes unnecessary conflict, and as a result of that, it hurts and destroys your relationships. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person starts what? They start, you see it, starts fights, right? Circle that word, fight. A hot-tempered person starts fights, a cool-tempered person stops them. That's what anger tempts you to do. It tempts you to lash out and start a fight that you didn't have to start. And there are almost always unintended consequences of giving into this temptation. I mean, when you start a fight with your family member, you can actually fracture your family. You start a fight with a coworker, you can create this atmosphere of a toxic work environment. You start a fight with your boss, you could end up getting fired and lose your job. A hot-tempered person, they start fights, and in the end, they damage and even destroy some of their most important relationships. You can even lose your career or your dreams. But even more significant, a hot temper can ruin your reputation. It destroys your witness for Christ. And then third consequence, losing your temper gives Satan control. It gives Satan control. When you start a fight with so the verse we saw that was just read for us, Ephesians 4:27, it says, "For anger gives a foothold to the devil." I mean, think about what that's saying. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. That's strong language. That's a strong warning. What is it saying here is that when you have uncontrolled anger, Satan gains access to your life. I mean, usually all Satan can do is he can indirectly tempt you. He can throw fiery darts at you. He can try to influence you from the outside. But when you give in to anger and you vent it, Satan can then have access inside of you. He could try to control your thoughts. He could try to control your actions by having direct access to your emotions where you can be manipulated. You know, you make a bad decision. You say and do some stupid things, and you know what then Satan does? He takes your anger and he uses it against you to hurt you and to hurt others. When anger is in control, and Satan is therefore in control of you, guess who's not in control? God's not in control. The Holy Spirit's not in control, and you really are not in control. I mean, have you ever looked into the eyes of someone who's totally given themselves over to anger? They don't look like themselves. Their face muscles are all tight. Their body language is aggressive. The words that are being used to wound, their spirit is in attack mode, and they're no longer in control. I mean, have you ever asked someone after they calmed down from a rage episode why they said this or that? Often they don't believe that they said what you heard them say. They were not in control. Someone or something else was speaking through them, and they don't even realize the words they were saying. The worst consequences to giving to your anger is that my anger pulls me away from God, from His peace, His presence, and His power in my life, and it puts me in the hands of Satan. And there are other big consequences as well when anger takes control, when you lose your temper. I mean, there are health issues like high blood pressure. There are emotional issues like anxiety and regret, and I could go on and on and on with the consequences. So if you want to avoid all these consequences, get a handle on the emotion of anger, first I need to remember that there are consequences of giving in to my anger. And then the second step is to recognize what triggers my anger. Let me write that in. Recognize what triggers my anger. When it comes to escaping the temptation of anger, you need to know what's triggering that temptation. That is incredibly helpful for you. So let me just ask you this question. You know, what is it that tempts you the most to give in to your anger? What is it that just seems to set you off? What are those anger triggers? If you know, I encourage you just to write them down. This is just for you. This is your notes. You're not going to give them to anybody else. Just kind of acknowledge that this is where I struggle. This is what tends to set me off. You know, if you're not sure what might be, then you know, there are three kind of big ones that tend to be what causes it. First one is hurt. The second one is frustration. And the third is insecurity. Hurt, frustration, and insecurity are the cause of most of our anger. Hurt, you've probably heard the saying that hurt people, right? You're angry, you're lashing out, you want other people to feel the way that you feel. You're hurting, you're dying on the inside. Hurt people tend to hurt other people. And then frustration. Frustration means that you're agitated because something's not going your way. You don't have control of a situation, and so you lash out because you can't control what's going on. And then insecurity. You know, sometimes instead of facing your own insecurities, your own shortcomings, you lash out to others in anger. You know, you feel bad about yourself, and so through anger you try to pull other people down so that you could feel a little better. I mean, that's the big picture. Hurt, frustration, and insecurity. So, but what about you personally? Because we're all different. What is it that kind of is just setting off your anger again and again and again? What are your personal triggers? Because if you know what triggers your anger, you can begin to live out this next verse. Proverbs chapter 19:11 Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect for overlooking wrongs. Here's the point. Anger's going to come. You know, for all of us, we're going to feel these emotions. The feeling of anger is going to rise up in us. But if you can catch the temptation early enough, if you can keep it from gaining control of your life, you can keep that anger from becoming a sin. And so let's do some honest self-evaluation for just a moment about who or what triggers your anger. And we got to be honest about this. If we got blinders on, then the anger can surprise us. It's not about anyone else. This isn't about your spouse and how they get triggered. You, how do you personally get triggered? Is it a person? You know, is it your spouse or a parent? Or is it your child? Is it a coworker? Is it the person sitting next to you? Don't point to them. They don't need to know that. Right? But is it a person? Is it being late or someone else being late that triggers you and you get angry? Is it when you feel like you're just under this pressure and feeling all this pressure at work or at home, and that's when you tend to get angry? You know, is there a certain situation or is it a certain time of the day you stay up too late? Or, you know, what is it that triggers you? You know, identify that. And then you can begin to look for God's escape from that temptation. But before we look at God's escape, consider this question. Why is it that you keep losing your temper? And why is it that you keep getting angry? You know, one answer is probably because it works, right? When you get angry, there's this short-term reward for your anger. First of all, it feels good just to release it. And then psychologists tell us that when you yell or you get angry at someone, you lose your temper, most of the time, immediately, people will comply just out of fear. So losing your temper works in the short run. But anger also alienates. And in the long term, you lose the relationship. You lose respect. And you lose the love in that relationship. That's why Proverbs 22:24 says this, "Don't befriend angry people. Or associate with hot-tempered people." In other words, not only should you keep away from hot-tempered people, but people are going to keep away from you if you're hot-tempered, if you've got a short fuse. To avoid that, identify what tempts you to be angry. And then you have to have an immediate strategy to combat the anger when it comes. That's our third step. And Cheryl kind of talked about it. Retrain myself to pause before acting on my anger. Write that in. Retrain myself to pause before acting on my anger. That is so easy to say. That is so hard to do. Alexander the Great, in a fit of rage, struck down and killed his favorite general. But it wasn't just any general. This general had been his best friend since childhood. And after he realized what he had done, Alexander cried out, "I've conquered the world, but I can't conquer my own soul. I've conquered the world, but I can't conquer my own soul." Do you ever feel like that? Like you can't conquer your anger? Listen, you can escape the temptation of anger, but you have to do this retraining of yourself first to pause and not speak or act when you're feeling angry. I mean, how many times have you said or done something in anger only to think a few minutes later, "Oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I wish I could just go back and undo that." King Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 13:16. Wise people think before they act. Align that phrase, think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. You ever met somebody who bragged about losing their temper? They're like, "Oh, you should have seen me. I just gave it to them. I gave a piece of my mind." You know, if that's you, be very careful, because eventually you're going to run out of pieces to give away. Or you may end up running out of friends willing to listen to your tantrums stories. You have to learn to retrain yourself to pause and think before you react in anger. Just take a beat before you speak. When you give in to temptation and anger, there are four typical ways that you use your anger incorrectly to get what you want. You know, each way can be very hurtful. I mean, the first of one, there's the maniac. Not someone from Maine, but the maniac. You know, this is where I yell and scream and I make a scene in order to get my way. That's the maniac. Then there's the mute. And the mute is the one who just shuts down. When they're angry, I pout, I'm going to give you the silent treatment, you know, until you see the errors of your ways. There's the maniac and the mute. And then there's the martyr. You know, the martyr says, woe is me. You know, look what I've suffered and how you wronged me. You know, they're really good at putting you on a guilt trip. And then the final way we inappropriately use our anger is the manipulator. Now, this is the passive-aggressive person. They may appear to be calm and okay on the outside, but on the inside, they're plotting their revenge to get their way. Which way do you typically respond when you're angry? Now, none of these strategies work in the long run because they end up just pushing people further away. And so we all need a better strategy than these four ways. When you feel your anger rising inside, before you lose control and fall back into your natural response, we retrain ourselves to take that breath, to pause and reflect, and to pray and ask God for His power and His help. Take a deep breath. When you feel that anger rising, take a deep breath and decide that you're not going to respond in the way that you usually respond. You might even have to step away from the circumstances for a moment so that you can cool down before you re-engage, and that's okay. The key word here is to pause. And this is so hard because when you feel that anger rising up in you, you know, the last thing you want to do is to delay your response. You want to give it out right away. You want to respond. That's the impulse. But the mature person delays their response. They don't say the first thing that comes to mind. They don't fire off the email or a tweet or a text while they're still angry. Now, I know some of you might think that whenever you're angry, you just can't help it. This is just the way God made me. I just can't help that I give into this and explode. But you can control your temper. And I can actually prove it. Have you ever been at home and you're at fight with your spouse and the anger is just getting louder, or maybe it's your parents and there's some yelling and you're just, you know, you're just going at it and you're saying words and all of a sudden the phone rings. Hello? Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. You know, what just happened? You can control your anger when you want to. Right? It's a choice. When you get angry, you're choosing to get angry. You want to get angry. See, there's nothing that can really make you angry. There's nothing that can make you mad. You're choosing to get mad of your own free will. I mean, that's the lie we believe. So-and-so made me angry. That terrible driver made me angry. We have got to learn to own our anger. There is nothing that can force you to get angry. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Retrain yourself to pause and to pray before you react in anger. Now, this doesn't mean that you just ignore the problem. It doesn't mean that there's not something that you need to do about what caused that anger. But what it means is that you're not going to give into it. That's never the solution to give into the anger. So pause and pray. That's a short-term strategy when you're facing anger. But let's look at the ultimate long-term spiritual strategy to escaping the temptation of anger. It's our final step, and that is to relinquish to God my right to be angry. And this goes deep. Relinquish to God my right to be angry. And here's the thing, you relinquish this right whether I'm wrong or they're wrong. I relinquish my right to be angry when I'm the one that's at fault or they're the ones that are at fault. Romans 12:19 says, never take revenge. Underline that phrase. Never take revenge. Not even when you hurt me deeply. Not even when you're wrong and I'm right. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. God's word is clear. That we're never to get back at someone. We're never to take revenge, whether we're right or wrong. We're not, whether we're justified or we're not justified. Because when we get revenge, we're taking upon ourselves God's role. We begin to play God. But God is the only arbiter of what is right and wrong. He is the one who alone brings justice. You know, whenever or wherever, you know, whether we're right or wrong, you decide to get revenge, you are removing God from your side. God will not be on your side if you're taking his role in getting revenge. He alone brings justice. So going back to that verse, next underline the phrase righteous anger. Because I hear Christians say, you know, it was a righteous anger. And that's okay to be angry and respond in anger if it's justified. I can be angry over injustice and angry over things like racism or abuse, but here's the interesting thing. God never says that you have the right to righteous anger. Do you know why? Because you and I aren't righteous. You know, if we have Jesus in our life, Jesus' righteousness is on us, and God sees Jesus' righteousness, but we're not righteous. You know, we can't be trusted with that. I can't be trusted with righteous anger, because you'll take righteous anger and do something unrighteous with it. Because you're just going to end up feeling justified, and you're going to end up misusing it. And then we end up hurting others in anger. We do something that's just as bad as the original injustice. A Christian is angered over something that was justifiably wrong, and they should be upset over what happened. But instead of pausing, instead of giving their anger to God, they respond by sending out a vicious tweet, or they put something on social media that just is angry, and then they have to go back and apologize for it. Why? Because they just hurt the cause of Christ. It hurt their witness. There's only one person who can handle righteous anger, and that was Jesus, because he was perfect. He never misused his anger. But look at what the Bible says about our anger in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Notice it doesn't say don't let the sun go down on your unrighteous anger. It doesn't say don't get angry at the end of the day over the small things. It doesn't say don't be angry when you're right and other people are wrong. No, it says don't let the sun go down while you're still angry about anything. Now, I'm not saying that it's saying here that you shouldn't try to right wrongs. It doesn't mean that if someone hurts you that you don't do anything about it. Nor does it mean that you should keep your spouse up to 3 o'clock in the morning because you're angry and you're trying to win the argument to get them to apologize so that you don't feel angry anymore. That's not what it means. You're to learn to release your anger before you go to bed. Because when you're angry, you can't control yourself. You can't control your emotions. You have to get rid of that anger first before you can respond to injustice. Now, anger does have a purpose. God created it. And the initial feeling of anger that you feel, when you feel that anger rising up, that's not a sin. Because anger can point out something that is wrong. And the initial anger tells you, hey, you know, you need to do something about this. You need to respond to this. But you've got to get rid of that emotion of anger before you respond, before you act, because if you respond in anger, you're just going to end up making that situation worse. Writing in his autobiography about a hurtful exchange that he had during the bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama in the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. said this, you must not harbor anger. You must be willing to suffer the anger of the opponent and not return anger. I mean, think about all the things he went through to be able to say that. You must not become bitter. No matter how emotional your opponents are, you must be calm. What a deep statement that is. I mean, how deep a person has to be to get to that place where no matter what is happening against you, even to losing your own life, you refuse to respond to that in anger. Ultimately, to defeat the temptation of anger requires that you say you're going to relinquish to God your right to be angry altogether. You say to God, God, I can't handle being angry, righteous or unrighteous. So I'm going to give up my right to be angry, and I'm going to give that right to you. God, help me to recognize anger when it's coming. Help me to pause and pray before responding. God, help me to give my anger completely to you. You know, that's totally different than the world. The world is always fighting for our rights. Jesus commands us as Christians to give up our rights. As a Christian, I gave up my right to Jesus. I gave up my right to be angry, gave up my right to take revenge. I gave up my right to hold a grudge. And I put my right to place others above myself and look down on them pride. I give up all those rights. It's in giving up these rights to Jesus that you're going to find true freedom and true peace in Christ. And when you become free from your anger, you no longer have to be angry all the time. It releases you. You no longer have to be stuck in this pattern of losing your temper. Not because you're in control. I mean, you can't control your anger, but because God is in control and the Holy Spirit is in you, helping you control, steering you, and calming you. Here's our final verse about escaping the temptation of anger. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. We struggle with that from time to time, don't we? Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. God says, when you're hurt, don't hold a grudge. Don't hold on to that anger. Don't keep rehearsing it over and over again. Instead, forgive. And that can be very hard, forgiving that person that hurt you. And forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconcile with that person. Someone hurts you, you don't just put yourself back in that position where they can hurt you over and over again. But what it does mean is that you give up that anger to God and you let go of that hurt and you forgive them. Why? Well, I forgive someone who hurt me when they don't deserve it because God forgave me when I didn't deserve it. Amen. You can let go of your anger today. You can forgive because God let go of his anger against you, and he forgave you. God loves you that much. If right now you find that your life is just gripped by anger and you're just seeing yourself lose your temper over and over, I want you to see today that you don't have to live your life that way anymore. Today you can receive God's love and his forgiveness and his healing. And in doing so, you can escape the temptation of anger. Let's pray. Father, forgive me for any times that I have given in to anger. Forgive us as a congregation, as a church, as a denomination, as disciples of Christ. May we learn a new way to live life. And Heavenly Father, thank you for not responding to us in anger when we deserved it. Thank you for your forgiveness and your grace towards us. God, help us to escape the deadly temptation of anger. Help us to recognize what sets us off. And when we feel that emotion rising inside of us, help us to pray, to pause and pray, and to give that anger to you. You know, today we just relinquish to you our right to be angry. And we ask that your Holy Spirit within us would help us learn to control that. So that the Holy Spirit, that you're in control and not an emotion of anger. And as we're praying today, if you would like to give this issue of anger over to God, would you just pray these words silently inside of you as I say them out loud? And just say, Father, forgive me for when I have given in to anger. God, I want to live. I don't want to live with this anymore inside of me. Forgive me of the ways I've let anger control me. Forgive me of the ways I've responded in anger and hurt others. Today, I confess my sin to you. Renew a right spirit within me. Heal the triggers that I have in my life. Help me to have the strength to pause when my emotions start to rise. Replace my anger with your peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. And for all of us as we continue praying, God, I thank you for the ways that you have helped us to mature in our own understanding of anger and how to respond to it. May we all put into practice the things that you have pointed out to us this morning that will help us grow even more as a follower of you, seeking to become more and more like Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.